Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Go ahead in your Bible and find Mark chapter 8. Let's go ahead and find that. Mark chapter 8, we're going to read a verse there. This morning, rather than preach or teach so much, I'm going to just talk about the title of my message this morning is Beware of Leaven. Beware of Leaven. And you'll understand what we're talking about here in just a little bit. But let me just say this to you as we get ready for this. I'm going to say some things. Some of them are going to be pretty strong today. But I say them, you know, based out of a love for God, for His Word, and for His truth in the earth. And so we will say some things strong this morning. We're going to be talking about the upcoming election. As you should be aware of, this Tuesday is Election Day here in the United States. And so I want to encourage you to go out and vote. And so this morning, I want to just spend a little time talking about that, talking about the parties, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party, their platform, what they believe, and what should be our response as Christians to these different platforms. It was estimated, I saw this just recently, maybe a couple weeks or so ago, it was estimated that around 59 million Christians didn't vote in the 2016 election. Think about that. 59 million. What does that tell you? Well, it tells me that we Christians have the power to determine an election if we'll just get out and vote according to the Word of God or the principles of the Word of God. You know, David, the Bible talks about in 2 Samuel chapter 23, it says these were the last words of David, the sweet psalmist, the anointed of God on high. David said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by my mouth, and he said, he that rules among men must be, number one, just. Number two, he must rule in the fear of God. Now, since I've become a believer in Jesus Christ, I've always tried to base my voting based on that qualification. Which candidate do I believe is the most just? And by just, we're talking about the justice of the Word of God, all right? Not what the world claims is just or right or equitable. We're talking about what the Word says. We're Christians. We live by the Word of God. You know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a disciple of Christ. And a disciple means a follower, one that learns from. And so, you know, I look at just based on the Word of God, doing the Word of God. So he said, must be just ruling in the fear of God. He has a fear of God. And so, no candidate is perfect. No, nobody is perfect. Jesus was the only perfect one. But I look at the candidates and I measure them as closely to that scripture as I possibly can. In other words, I'm going to pick the one that's closest to that scripture. Now, I want you to find Mark chapter 8 because, you know, there's a lot of people that say that, you know, the church is not political. It's not. I agree with that. We're not a political organization. We are the church of the living God. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be involved in politics. There are some that believe their pastor should just keep silent about politics and so forth. And I'll give you this, you know, I think there are some that they spend too much time there, you know. But we shouldn't be silent about it. Pastors, they have the heart of America every Sunday morning. I mean, millions of people are listening to pastors every Sunday morning, just as you're watching me this morning. This is happening all over the United States of America. And so we have a great voice, and we ought to use our voice for good. We ought to use our voice for God, not for our causes, not for our pet projects, but for God. And so I want to show you something about Jesus and his life, his ministry, and politics. Mark chapter 8 and verse 15. I just want to read this one verse here. It says, and he charged them, this is Jesus, he charged them, his disciples, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and, now notice this, and of the leaven of Herod. So he told his disciples, you watch out for the leaven, or we would say false teachings of the Pharisees, which were the religious group of the day, And he said, you beware of the leaven of Herod. Now, Herod is the politician. So Jesus warned his disciples, watch out for the false teachings of the religious leaders, but watch out for the false teachings and heresies of the political leader. So right there, Jesus is involved in politics. Now, interesting thing. When you read the Gospels, you will come across three main groups that oppose Jesus. You will come across the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and then you'll see a group called the Herodians. Now, who were the Herodians? Well, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were the religious leaders, but the Herodians were a political party. They were a party that was aligned with Herod. And so Jesus called the Herodians hypocrites. It would be no different if he was here in the United States today and he called one of our parties, our political parties, hypocrites. He called the Herodians hypocrites. Now, as you look through the Gospels, as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke specifically, and then John, when you read the Gospels, you'll find that the Herodians were out to get Jesus. They were out to get him in trouble with Caesar. They were out to get him in trouble with the law. They were out to get him, actually to destroy him. And he called them hypocrites. So Jesus, he spoke pretty strongly about a political party of his day and just called them hypocrites and told his disciples, beware of the leaven of Herod. Well, this morning, I'm going to say some strong things. And it may offend some people. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe everybody watching me, you'll be okay with it. But I'm going to say some strong things because there is a political party in America that their doctrine, their platform is full of leaven. And we Christians need to be made aware of that. And so what I'm going to do today is basically, for the most part, I'm going to talk to you about the platform of the Republican Party and the platform of the Democratic Party, what they believe. Now, these things can be found on their website. In other words, you could Google it online, Democratic platform, Republican platform, and just read it for yourself. So, for the most part, I'm not going to be saying anything that's not already there for you to read if you want to take the time to read their platform. But here's what I find out. There are a lot of people, even Christians, that they don't even take the time to find out what the party they're voting for believes. You know, maybe they were raised Democrat or they were raised Republican. And so dad voted this way, grandpa voted this way, mama voted this way, that's the way I vote. Well, it's time that we wake up and realize that the parties of our parents aren't necessarily the same parties that we're dealing with today. They have evolved. They have changed. And we need to take a look at some things. So here's what we're going to talk about. I don't know that I'll have time to talk about all the issues that I have in my notes here. But we'll pick some out, we'll talk about them, make some comparisons, and then you have to make a judgment. Are you willing as a believer to support that particular party? Let's talk about number one, and to me this is number one. You know, this is the number one issue for me, and that is abortion. To me, abortion is like the number one issue. If you don't get this right, it doesn't really matter to me what else you get right. Because I believe the Bible is very specific about abortion and about what it is. But let me just give you the platforms. The Republican platform is pro-life. The Democratic platform is pro-choice. Pro-choice, in case you don't know, means that a woman has a right to choose whether her child lives or not. And that is the Democratic platform. That is, that's like I said, that's on their website. So it's not like me embellishing anything. It's specifically what they say. As a matter of fact, there are Democrats, and many of you remember the governor in Virginia who made the hideous comment that, about if a woman went in for an abortion and the child was born alive, the abortion was botched, the child was born alive and it's laying on the table. The governor of Virginia made the comment that we would then talk with the woman and decide what would be done with this child. So here we have a living child laying out on the counter, and we're going to have a conversation whether we're going to kill that child or not. I don't understand how America could even allow somebody like that to stay in office. And if you're from Virginia, I don't understand how you can vote for somebody like that. You need to wake up. I truly believe that if Americans, most Americans, really saw what abortion was and really saw what it did to the child and really saw the reality of it, instead of just being covered up in a back room somewhere, I believe the majority of Americans would be outraged. But it's all covered up in flowery speech and talk about a woman's rights and so forth, and it's all, they try to bury it underneath that speech. But if you bring it out in the open and bring it out and present it as ugly as it is, I believe the American people, for the most part, would reject it. And so here we have a really marked difference in this on this topic. The Republicans pro-life, Democrats pro-choice. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible tells us that God said that He knew Jeremiah before he was born, and He ordained him before he came out of the womb. In other words, God saying to Jeremiah, you're a person to me. He treated him as a person in the womb. So God treats, you know, a baby in a mother's womb as a person. Job talked about how God formed him in the womb. It was God doing that work. How dare man get in there and interrupt that? You know, the Bible tells about John the Baptist that he leapt for joy in his mother's womb, which tells us even when he was in a womb, he had emotion. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Well, you don't just fill a blob with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you don't just fill in, you know, a bunch of cells. You know, sometimes they'll say all the baby is a bunch of cells. Well, you know what? In the natural, our bodies, that's all they are right now out here walking around, you know. So listen, here's what I believe the Bible teaches about that. You know, there's a lot of argument. When does life begin? Does it begin at conception? When does it begin and so forth? We've had those arguments, but let me just tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 26, for the body without the spirit is dead. Now, that's very revealing. What that tells us is your body, your physical body, if your spirit leaves, there's no life to the body. It's the spirit that gives life to the body. So that tells me if there's a body that has life, amen, then there's a spirit living inside that body. It's a human being. It's a real person. And there's no doubt that the body of the babe in the womb has life. And therefore, it's got a spirit that's from God, which makes it a living human being. How Christians can support a party that believes in murder like that is beyond me. I don't understand that. Well, all right, I know that's strong, but hey, that's one issue where there's leaven in the Democrat Party right there. That is terrible leaven that, just like Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Herod. That's some leaven, Christians, you better be aware of. When you vote for those that support that, you're giving your okay to that. I'm telling you, I'm not going to do that. Now, here's another issue that's, you know, that's pretty hot button in our society today. Come on, breathe a little bit. It may get worse before it gets better. But, you know, if every pastor in America would get up and tell their people the truth about the leaven in the Democrat Party, maybe we could stop some of this foolishness, this ungodliness. But some are too afraid. I might offend somebody. I might make somebody mad. You're going to offend people. You're going to make somebody mad. But I tell you what, truth offends. I said truth offends. And so we need truth. And you know, I may be saying some things pretty strong this morning as we look at these issues. But, you know, I'm just sticking with the truth. And I'd say this, if you're a Democrat, you're watching me and you're getting angry, why are you getting angry? Ask yourself that. Why are you getting angry? All I'm doing is talking about your party's platform. If that makes you angry, then maybe you should switch parties. Maybe you should switch platforms. Because if what I say offends you, well then, listen, and you know, you think that I'm attacking your party. Listen, if this is your party and this is what they believe in, and you believe in this party, you should be cheering and saying, yeah, that's true. We do believe in abortion on demand. Well, you know what? If it was just the opposite, and I heard somebody, you know, I came across the internet, or I came across Facebook and saw somebody getting up and saying, those evil Republicans, they believe in, you know, pro-life. Well, it wouldn't offend me. I'd be going, yeah, hallelujah. I'm with them on that. Praise God. I'm going to vote for them. Amen. All right. So if you're getting angry and you're a Democrat, maybe it's because you realize your party's evil and you don't want that pointed out. Maybe you need to switch. All right. Now, let's look at this. Number two is the Democrats are for redefining marriage. In other words, let's say it this way. All these years, the thousands of years, marriage has been defined as a union between a man and a woman. Now, the Democrats want to define it as a man and a man, a woman and a woman, and who knows what else might be coming down the road that they'll be okay with. But let me just explicitly tell you, the Bible is very plain. It doesn't stutter. It doesn't miss a beat. Jesus said, have you not read that in the beginning, he who made them male and female, for this cause, because they're male and female, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Now listen to what he said. He said, in the beginning, God made a male and female. God's not confused. There's only two sexes. Sometimes I get these surveys or questions from companies, and they want you to, are you male? Are you female? Are you other? Listen, there isn't any other. It's male and female. There's confused people about what they are, and maybe the devil's got them confused. This isn't an attack. Let me say this. When I talk about some of these people, some of these issues, that is, I'm not attacking people. I know the devil messes people up. What I'm attacking is calling it normal, calling it right, calling it okay, calling it God's way. It's none of that. It's not normal. You need some help. You need some help in figuring this out. So, redefining marriage. The Democrats want to redefine marriage. Well, you say, well, Pastor, didn't the Supreme Court, didn't it legalize gay marriage in 2015? It did, but they were wrong. They were totally wrong. Now, not all the justices did, of course, but the majority did, a 5-4 majority. But they were totally wrong. Just because they said it's constitutional doesn't mean it's constitutional. First of all, ask yourself this question. When was regular marriage ever deemed constitutional? I don't even remember the Supreme Court ruling on regular marriage. You know why? Because marriage didn't come from the government. Marriage came from the Bible. That's where it began. Now, you can say that we're a same-sex couple, we're married. You can call yourself married, but you're not Bible married. The only marriage that the Bible recognizes is between a man and a woman. So Democrats are for redefining marriage. Now, once again, don't get mad at me. Just go to their website and look at their platform. Number three, the Democrats are for the LGBTQ agenda, all that's involved with that. They're not just for it. They're trying to force it on America. They're trying to force it on you and me to accept that lifestyle as normal. Now, once again, I want to be sure that you understand this. I'm not attacking people that are bound in that area or having, overcome in that area and having struggles in that area. I'm not attacking you personally, so don't take it that way. What I'm attacking is this push to legitimize it, this push to make it normal, this push to affirm it. See, the Democrat Party, they're not satisfied with just the homosexual marriage being made constitutional. They want every American, every person in the United States to say it's all right, to affirm it, or to just shut up. Actually, it's being taught in our schools as normal. This should outrage us. This should outrage us Christian people. Why? This is totally, blatantly against God's Word, and it's thumbing your nose at God. And I tell you, I can't support a party that would support that. Number four, Come on, breathe a little bit. All right, it'll be all right. I'll be done here in a little bit, and then we'll be preaching on something different next Sunday morning. But I think most people that hear this that's got any common sense can realize the Democrat Party has a lot of leaven in it. That would literally, if it's left unchecked, if we don't do something about it, it will destroy our country as it is. Now, number four, religious liberty. Now, this is not, listen, you may get offended, but I am just giving you the truth. The religious liberty suffered a great blow under 8 years of Obama. The church, I'm a pastor. I live in this world. Now, if you don't live in this world, you may think, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about because you don't live in this world. I live in this world. That's what I do with my life. I'm a pastor. Religious liberty suffered an extreme blow under President Obama's administration. Anytime he talked about, you know, the Bible promises, freedom of religion, freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, freedom of religion. Mr. Obama would always say, you know, freedom to worship. He never said freedom of religion. He said freedom to worship. There was a big reason why he said that, because his philosophy was, and the Democrat Party's philosophy is, what the Constitution guarantees us is that we can come together in these four walls and worship God however we want. But that's as far as it goes. But I'm here to tell you, the Constitution doesn't just allow us to worship God inside these four walls. The Constitution gives us the right and the freedom to take our beliefs outside of these four walls and live them in our everyday life. Amen. What does that mean? Well, let's just take some examples. For instance, what about all of the business people that have gotten in trouble because they wouldn't participate in gay marriage events? Maybe they wouldn't bake a cake. Maybe they wouldn't, provide the flowers. All right? The Democrats want to call that discrimination. They want to say freedom of religion doesn't go that far, but my brother and sister, I'm telling you constitutionally, it goes that far. Now, it would be discriminatory if I owned a business, and say I owned an eatery or something, and a person that was a homosexual came in and I said, I'm not going to serve you because you're a homosexual. Well, that would be discrimination. I'm not for that. But what we're talking about is participating in an event that is absolutely contrary to one's person's faith. Those of us that are true Christians, hear what I said, true Christians and know the Bible. No, the Bible's against homosexual marriage. Therefore, for us to participate in that would be a violation of our conscience, which would take away our religious freedom if we were forced to do that. But in America, there are people being forced to do that. That is oppression. Democrats are for that. They're okay with that. As a matter of fact, if they're given the power on Tuesday, if they are given, which they already have, you know, the House, but if they're given the Senate and they're given the presidency, they are going to enact a bill called the Equality Act. This bill will remove religious liberty protections. It will even violate the tenets of churches, their faith. In other words, churches will be forced to either disobey the law or disobey their God. Well, I don't know about you. I've already made up my mind which one I'm going to do. But if the Democrats get in office, if they get control of both chambers and they get the presidency, this is what's coming at us churches. So American Christians, you need to wake up. You need to get off your couch on Tuesday and don't be one of the 59 million that didn't go vote, or you're going to watch your liberties go down the drain. Now, you may think that I'm being, you know, dramatic. I'm not. They have stated what they're going to do. It's on their platform. Just go read it before you go vote, and maybe you'll change your mind. Number five, let's talk about this. How about God in government? The Republican platform mentions God 15 times. The Democratic platform, one time. That's pretty revealing right there. I watched this. I saw this. And many of you did too. I saw, I can't remember exactly what year it was. It might have been 2016, where the Democrats were gathered together for a convention, and they took a vote on whether to leave God in the Democratic platform. They voted three times. The first time, they did it by voice vote, you know. The first time, it was quite obvious that the majority of the people that claimed to be Democrats voted to kick God out of their party. Well, the guy who was leading, I can't remember his name or I would tell you, the guy who was leading this convention, he knew this doesn't look good. So he said, well, that was close. Let's vote again. So they voted again. It was obvious they voted to kick God out. Once again, he realized this does not look good before America. So he said, let's do that again. I'm not quite sure. Let's do it again. And they voted again resoundingly to kick God out of their platform, to kick God out of their party. But this man was so embarrassed by this that he said, I believe that the yes to keep God in, they were the majority. They were not. He just lied about it. I heard it. And so did thousands, maybe millions of Americans heard that day how the Democratic Party said, we don't want God in our platform. Christians, why are you connected to that platform? Why are you connected to that party if they don't want your God in it? That'd be enough to get me to leave. Amen. All right. Number six, let's talk about, you know, some of these we can spend a lot of time talking about, but obviously we're not going to take the time to do that this morning. But let me just say this to you, one thing, as we're talking about God and government, you know, the separation of church and state. First of all, Democrats totally on purpose, some of them, they misrepresent that. The separation of church and state, when you trace it back to its original roots, was simply to keep the state out of the church, not the church out of the state. Now, Democrats have turned that, and literally what they want to do is kick the church out of the state and get the state in the church, telling the church what to do. And don't think that's not true. The Democratic mayor of Houston just a few years ago gave the decree that all of the pastors in town, you know, some of the major ones anyway, that they present their Sunday sermons to her for her okay before they preached them. Now think about that. Fortunately, that didn't fly, but it does give you an idea of what they would like to do if they were able to get away with it. They would like to silence us and you know, to regulate what we preach and say. So, America, wake up. Christians, especially Christians, wake up. Wake up. Don't sit on your couch on Tuesday and let our country be taken over like this. Beware of the leaven of the Democrats. I know this is offensive this morning, and this is strong. And normally I don't really get involved in politics a whole lot as a pastor. I just preach the word. But let me tell you something. They brought this to our door, not us to them. They're the ones that decided to take our country in an ungodly, godless, moral way. And if we preachers and we pastors and we Christians don't stand up and say, no, you're not going to do that, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. With the kind of country we're going to end up with. So it's not that we pastors want to preach on these things. I don't want to preach on these things. I want to preach on our covenant rights. I want to preach on our redemption, and mostly I do. But still, they brought this to us. They brought this fight to us. This is not just a matter of mere politics. This is good versus evil. This is right versus wrong. This is God being attacked and His principles being attacked, and we have to stand for the faith. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Yeah, I know it. Now, number six, what about sex education in schools? You know, Republicans are for teaching, you know. First of all, let me just say this. I don't think it's the local school's job to teach your kids about sex. That's mom and dad's job. All right? That should be your job. You should decide when that conversation should take place, and you should decide what it's going to be about, okay? But we do have sex education taught in schools. Republican platform is for teaching on abstinence. In other words, don't have sex until you're married. Wow, that sounds familiar. That almost sounds like the Bible. That almost sounds like the Apostle Paul's teaching. You know why it does? Because it is. Wow, I can side with that. The Democrats are they're for passing out condoms, birth control, and against, listen to this, they are against teaching on abstinence. Why would you be against that unless your root core is full of leaven? I don't understand that. They're for teaching the LGBTQ agenda on sexuality. Well, all right, right there. That there's another issue. I have a real problem with their leaven in their platform. Listen, if you're a Democrat and you're mad at me, hey, all I can tell you is I have a real problem with your leaven. You need to get rid of your leaven and get it out of your platform and get back to the Word of God and get back to believing just some common sense things even. And maybe, if you clean things up, maybe sometime we could vote for you, but not the way you are now. No way. Number 7, what about courts, judges? Well, Republicans are for originalist judges. That's what they say. Democrats are for progressive judges. Now, what are progressive judges? Progressive judges are judges that believe the Constitution should evolve to match the current culture. In other words, as the culture degrades, so should the Constitution. But the Democrats, they believe that, you know, it's a moving document. You know, it can change. Republicans believe our founders got it right in the beginning. And I side with that. I believe our founders got it right. I believe they did a God-ordained, God-directed job with our Constitution. It's produced more liberty than any country ever. And I don't know about you, but I'm blessed living here because of what our founding fathers did. And I'm not for changing that. I'm not for saying we're going to change our Constitution because our culture has changed. Well, culture's degrading. It's getting sicker. And of course, you know, if you want to side with those people, then, you know, you're going to want to change things because the Constitution rebukes your ungodliness. Well, anyway, that's good preaching. Number 8, what about borders and immigration? Let's talk about that. All right. you know, President Trump, you know, one of the big things about him when he first started running for office, when he came down the stairs there and announced his candidacy, I mean, one of his big things was our borders and our immigration. Now, let me say this to you about immigration, because it seems like the Republicans just don't know how to talk about this issue. Democrats accuse Republicans of being against immigration, which is false. They're against illegal immigration. There's a huge difference between immigration and illegal immigration. All of us, except for the Native Americans, they came from somewhere, but all of us, we came over here from someplace, all right? So we're immigrants. We're all immigrants. But there is a way in our country to do it legally, to come in right, to come in legally. That's all Republicans are saying. Do it right. Do it the right way. Don't come in illegally. And as far as the border wall, you know, President Trump promised a border wall. Well, a lot of people don't realize it because it doesn't get reported by the news. He can't get the money from Congress to do it, but he is doing it. He is funding it through other ways. And there have been, I forget how many miles it was, but a few hundred miles of wall has already been built. He is doing that. Now, you know, there are people, even religious leaders have problems with the wall. I heard the Pope, you know, don't get offended at me, Catholics. I'm just, just telling the truth. I mean, if you get offended at your Pope. But, you know, the Pope, I mean, he rebuked us. He rebuked President Trump because he was going to, you know, build the wall. And yet, the Vatican has a wall around it. So I'm saying, hey, why do you have a wall around the Vatican? You know why you have a wall around the Vatican? To keep criminals out. People to do harm and damage. That's all President Trump has tried to do with this wall is to keep criminals out. People do harm and do damage to our country. So, I mean, you know, listen, that's just hypocrisy on behalf of the Pope. I'm sorry if you're offended at me, Catholics. I love Catholics. But, you know, that's just hypocrisy. And another thing about your Pope, let me just say this. This is, let's wipe the slate clean. You know, he just came out just about 2 weeks ago and gave his blessing to same-sex unions. So what? He gave his blessing to same-sex unions. That should make every Catholic in America irate. He just totally gave his blessing to something that's not only against the Word of God, most importantly, but it's against the Catholic doctrine to start with. I mean, your own doctrine of your church He violated the own doctrine of your church. Why isn't this man being called on the carpet, Catholics? What's wrong with you? Let's wake up and realize what's happening. Amen. There's a lot of leaven, not only in politics, but there's a lot of leaven in the church that needs to be preached against and dealt with. So anyway, that's all I want to say. Hope I didn't offend you Catholics. I love Catholics. I've ministered to a lot of Catholics over the years. Nothing against you. But if you just be honest, read your church doctrine and your Pope says something contrary to your own doctrine. Most importantly, it's against the Word. All right. Now, borders and immigration. Listen. Our president wants the wall to keep bad people from just having easy access to our country. Most countries, communist countries specifically, they built walls around their countries. Don't compare the two. The communists built walls to keep people from leaving. Hear that? My dear friend from Germany, he told me, he said, the reason that they built the wall, he lived in East Germany and still lives in Germany today, but he was there when it was East-West Germany, when the Berlin Wall was up. He said to me, he said, the reason they built the wall, because when communism came into East Germany, all the good people, all the all the highly qualified people, the doctors and so forth, the nurses, they were leaving to go to West Germany, so they built the wall to keep people in. You know, I hear some of these politicians, some of these sports people complain how bad it is here in America while they're living in a lap of luxury, living lives of kings. It's really hard for me to hear you telling me how oppressed it is here in our country when you're living way better than I am. Don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. I don't want to hear it. Listen, if that was the case, it's so bad, why do we have to build a wall to keep people out? We're not trying to keep people in. We're trying to keep wrong people from getting in. We're not trying to keep people from getting out. We're trying to keep wrong people from getting in. It's so good people want to live here. So go bellyache someplace else. So, sorry if that offends you. Sorry if I'm not being very, eloquent this morning. But sometimes truth just got a barb on it. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, don't preach to me about how bad you got it when you're living in million-dollar homes. Go to some other country. Go to one of those socialist countries that you praise and see if you could live that way. See if you could get that kind of money. All right, that's good preaching. What about health care? You know, there's a big thing about health care. You know, Republicans want to take away our health care and so forth and all that. Well, let me tell you something. Republicans are not for taking away your health care. I don't think anybody's for taking away your health care. But if you do any research, you're going to find out government-run health care is not the way to solve any health care issues. Period. End of sentence. You go to countries that have government-run health care, and they have bad health care. That's all I'll say about that. What about Israel? Wow, this is a big one. You know, God's big on Israel. God's big. He told Abraham, he says, those that bless you, I'll bless. Those that curse you, I'll curse. And Paul, even in the New Testament, told us Christians, hey, we receive their spiritual things. We should minister to them the carnal things, natural things. In other words, Paul's saying we should do good to them. Amen. Well, our president, President Trump, in my opinion, you know, and all the presidents that I remember, all the way back to JFK, he's been more friendly to Israel than any president I've ever known of. He's actually a lot of presidents mouthed that they were going to move the U.S. embassy back to Jerusalem. Yeah, I'm going to do that. They never would do it. They were afraid to do it. But he's the first president that actually said he was going to do it and actually did it. As a matter of fact, okay, I'll just say it. This president has kept more promises than any president I ever remember. He said he was going to do it. He's going to do it. I guarantee you, if he could get the money, the wall would already be done. He said he was going to build that. It is being built. But he's kept his word. He's kept his promise. And listen, Christians, listen, he's been more friendly to the church than any president ever that I ever knew of. Period. No, there's no argument about it. He just has. He's got spiritual advisors around him. And I noticed this something about him. When he goes to church, you know, he normally doesn't go to one of these big stuffy religious churches. He goes to a charismatic Holy Ghost church. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, he was at a church just the other day, about 2 weeks ago, in Las Vegas and got a prophetic word. I mean, this is the President of the United States. All right, am I saying that President Trump is a perfect man? Obviously not. Does he say things sometimes he shouldn't say? Yes, he does say things he shouldn't say. He said things before this angered me. I'm thinking, why do you say these things? Just somebody take his phone away from him so he can quit tweeting and everything else. But listen, it's not about that. This isn't about his personality. His personality is what it is. It's not going to change. This is about principles. This is about policies. This is about who lines up most with the Word. And I can guarantee you, he lines up closer to the Word of God than most presidents we've had in our lifetime. Period. End of the sentence. Am I saying he's the perfect example of a Christian? I don't know if he's even a Christian. I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I think he claims he is, so if he says he is, who am I to judge? But, you know, you do judge by fruit, and I can certainly see some fruit. Now, I know, you know, I see all these. I see the same thing you see. I saw the ad, you know, about how he kept kids in cages, you know, at the border. Well, let's just clear that up. First of all, it's been proven. The video of the children in the cages at the border was a video from 2015, which was under the Obama administration. So it did not happen under President Trump's administration. At least that picture I'm talking about was not taken under President Trump's administration. It was taken under President Obama's administration. I'm not saying President Obama knew it was going on. A lot of things go on President didn't know about. But I'm just saying, let's just clear that up. The media used that picture and oops, they got caught. That wasn't under Trump's administration. And secondly, when President Trump found out about it, he ended that policy. So, I hear church people say, I can't vote for him and so forth. Let me ask you this, what's your alternative? The stuff that I just read? You can't vote for that. Now, last thing. I don't know if I have a friend left in the world, but anyway, praise God. I think Scott still likes me. He's smiling back there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What about this? And this is where we'll end today. What about socialism versus capitalism? Now, Joe Biden says he's not a socialist. That's what he says. He says, that's why I was nominated, because I'm not a socialist. Well, I don't know about Joe Biden, but I'll tell you this. There are a lot of socialists in the Democratic Party. And Mr. Biden cannot deny those, if he'll be honest. A lot of the policies he's espousing are socialistic policies. So my thought is, if you are going to implement socialistic policies, doesn't that make you a socialist? Now, see, a lot of young kids today, bless their hearts, you see them, you know, they want socialism in America. You know, they've never been out of America. They've never been to a socialist country. They've never seen how poor and broke and that those countries are. Here, you know, I could give you, the actual definition of socialism and capitalism. I'm going to break it down for you. We can understand. What is capitalism? Capitalism is where people control their prosperity. They control their own prosperity. That's what capitalism. That is a biblical thing. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. Read Proverbs. Proverbs is full of teaching on working and actually it's capitalistic principles. Just to be honest with you, in the book of Proverbs. Socialism is this. Socialism is when the state controls your prosperity. In other words, they determined what you get. You heard this, the term spread the wealth around. Here's the problem. If you're going to follow socialistic principles, you have to get, and you're going to spread the wealth around, you have to get your money from someplace. Where are you going to get your money from? Well, we're going to get it from those evil rich people. Okay, so once they're broke, where do we get the money from? You ever think about that? What's going to happen when you just, you know, start taking money away from people? They're going to quit investing in businesses. There goes jobs. We all end up broke. We all end up poor. And if you've ever been to a socialist country or you have friends from a socialist country, they'll tell you what happens. They know. I've got a friend that when he comes here, he says, I see the same thing trying to happen in America that happened in my country, the socialism. And he warns against us, don't go for that. Don't go that direction. What happens? Well, in socialism, it ends up the ruling class, they become rich and the rest of us are broke. Now, I'll tell you what, I'm a capitalist through and through until God shows up, Jesus Christ, with a better program. But until then, I'm plenty happy being a capitalist. And the way we do it here in America, it's produced the most wealth, the most blessed nation, the most prosperity of any country. And for you young people that are being duped by your college professors and teachers and so forth, why don't you just take a trip to a socialist country one time, live there for about 6 months, come back, you'll kiss the ground here in America. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. Listen to this. Liberalism always leads to socialism. Socialism always leads to communism. All a socialist is, those in our, that somehow got elected to Congress that are socialists, all they are is teenage communists. They haven't grown up yet, but once they get the power to grow up, they'll be full-fledged communists. And you can just go back and look at the communist countries, take Russia, for instance, and just see the results of that. Anti-God, anti-wealth, everything. You end up broke, busted, depressed, amen, and oppressed. Hey, hope you still love me. But I want to keep America. I want to keep America great, like it has been. I want to see our country back into the fullness of the blessing of God. And there is, you know, there's a lot of leaven in the Democrat Party. Let me just say this: if you're mad at me, I want to just be honest with you. I'm just being honest. If it was in the Republican Party, I'd call it out. I'm not saying they're perfect, but I'm saying when you read the platform, Jesus would say today, beware of the leaven of the Democrats. Hope you got something out of this. And more importantly, I hope you go vote this Tuesday, and I hope you vote according to the principles of the Word of God, not by what you've always been or what you've been registered to be all your life. Wake up, look at the leaven, and beware of it. Hallelujah. Well, good preaching. Amen. I wish you were here to say amen. I know you'd be shouting, jumping, running, throwing something, whatever, you know. But I wish every pastor in America would get up and tell, and all of the churches of America this morning would get up and tell their people the truth about the leaven that's there, because it's there. Hey, Tuesday's important. Tuesday's a big day for our country. Don't you sit home.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.